Everybody, Dean Castronova from Journey, and you're listening to Pat Francis on the Rock Solid Podcast. Crank it up.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room to promote the release of Against the Winds, his fifth studio album with the band Revolution Saints. Please welcome drummer extraordinaire, Dean Castronovo. Hey, Dean.
How are you, sir? Good to see you, Pat.
Good to see you, Dean. Dean, when I heard that Revolution Saints was going to have a new lineup, I was wondering who's going to replace Doug Aldrich and Jack Blades. And then when I saw who it was, Joel Hoekstra and Jeff Pilson, that seemed perfect.
Yeah.
Did you have any involvement in choosing those two guys?
No, that was actually Doug and Serafino, president of Frontiers. You know, I've known Joel and Jeff from years touring with Foreigner and Night Ranger with Journey. So we've all become friends. You know, we're all good friends. And when Doug and Jack decided to back off, Doug recommended Joel, and I couldn't have thought of a better pick. I mean, he's really edgy and has a great guitarist. Like, Doug still got that vibe, and the chemistry was there. And that's, I think, 90% of it right there is the chemistry. If you got good chemistry with the guys you're playing with, you're going to create great stuff. So, you know, that was kind of a no-brainer. And Jeff Pilson, again, he was with Foreigner with Journey, and it was, you know, I've always looked up to Jeff since his days with Dawkins. So really cool. It was a no-brainer, and it came out really perfect. The chemistry was just right there. Great people, really great people. And the playing speaks for itself. They're great players.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, you know, there's no drama. Jack is busy with Night Ranger, and right. Doug is all in on the Dead Daisies right now. So look, all five of you guys collectively are like the busiest guys in showbiz in music. It's just crazy that you can even get one of these albums made, but you did it.
Yeah. The cool thing was this, when Joel and Jeff came in, we had two records worth of material. So we recorded them all in one shot. We just did them all. I did my drum tracks in 6 days, 23 songs in 6 days, and did my vocals in nine. And then, so we had both of them in the can. So it was great because they knew, okay, once Dean is done on January 10th, he's gone. He's not coming back. And I was out, man. We were out on the road nonstop with Journey. So it worked out good. And again, last year I did the vocals for the second record, and I had about 9 days to do that. And again, gone again. So, and here I am again, gone again, getting ready to do Journey rehearsals on Saturday.
Okay. So what you're telling us is there's a sixth Revolution Saints album in the can, the second with Joel and Jeff, and we'll get that whenever the time seems right.
Yeah, I believe it's coming out on February 9th, the new one. The new one's coming out. So we had Eagle Flight and Against the Wind, and then we're going to do another one in, I think, end of April, sometime May and June, because I got 2 months off between the Def Leppard tour with Journey and the Toto tour we're doing right now. So, yeah, it's all like right. we just blaze. When I got the time, dude, I go to work, you know? I got to keep busy.
Revolution Saints, have they ever done a live show?
We've just done one. And it was at Frontiers Fest in Milan. And it was my first time ever being out front. I sang like five songs behind the kit and then five songs out in front. Dude, I was scared to death. But yeah, that was the first show we ever did. And it was so much fun. But I think that was kind of our biggest, I guess, bummer, you want to say, because we wanted to play live, but nobody had the time. It was like, well, go out. Oh, I've got time. I'm off. Well, I'm working. Well, oh, I got time off. I'm working. Well, we're all three working. It's like, oh, it just was never the right time. And that's what, I'm hoping that with Joel and Jeff, You know, I know that, that Jeff's got his farewell tour with Foreigner. That's going to be done. So he'll have some time. Joel's still working with Whitesnake, and he's got, he just finished Trans-Siberian. So I'm not sure what he's doing right now, but I'm going to be gone all year. I don't come back until, I'm not home until the end of November. I got, you know, a little bit of time off, you know, but that's it, dude. And we're gone. And so maybe 2025, God willing, you know, if we can, I would love to.
Well, fingers crossed, but currently it's just like, it's just this studio entity that releases great melodic rock. It takes me right back to all that type of music that I love. And I appreciate the time and effort. And it, these things just aren't thrown together. I mean, they sound great. The production is amazing. Could you tell me who Alessandro Del Vecchio is? Explain to the people.
He's our fourth member, dude. I mean, he really is. He's the main songwriter with Frontiers. He's like the house songwriter and the house producer. And he's got an incredible ear, and he's got an incredible talent. The guy sings. He plays everything, everything. Just an amazing talent. And we hit it off instantly because of our, you know, Sicilian, Italian, you know, descent. I mean, that was a no-brainer. But just the way he carries himself and how he's a perfectionist like we are. And I mean, he just knows, and he knows what I like, because I don't write lyrics, dude. I mean, I'm not really good. I've written maybe two or three lyrics in my life. I'm not really good at it because I never was called to do it. So Alessandro, you know, we've gotten so close to where he knows what touches me and what doesn't. I, you know, if I see a lyric that he's written and I believe it, you know, and it touches me in a way like, you know what, I've lived through that, I can sing it, you know. And it's one of those things, I'm still learning to be a singer, but Alessandro just has that thing, you know. He knows me, and you know, my drum sound too, he knows what I like, and I, you know, he'll send me back some mix. I'm going, dude, that bass drum sounds like, you know, turd, can you fix that, you know? But he knows, you know, he's just got that thing. But I've never really had to do that much with him, because he's got that ear. He's really, really talented, and he's the fourth member of this band. If it wasn't for him, man, we wouldn't have a lot. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, it's a cool thing.
All right. It is a cool thing. You were saying that when you played that one show with Revolution Saints, and you were, you know, the front man, because you're the front man of this band, and you were scared to death. Yeah. Let's cut to years and years later. You're with Journey Through Time. And you're the front man there, kind of, too. How do you sing that catalog of, I mean, the Journey catalog has to be one of the hardest catalogs to sing night after night after night. So when people, you know, when people, you know how the internet is, if you know, Arnell maybe has a rough night, you go out and try to sing that. That is hard.
Yeah, dude, I agree with you there, Pat. I don't think there's another catalog that's harder. I really don't believe there is. I mean, that's some pretty wicked stuff. Next to maybe David Coverdale stuff. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, there's some high stuff up there, and he's blazing. For me, being behind the drums is a lot easier and singing than it is being out front. Because I've said it in interviews, I feel like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands, man. I'm used to having drumsticks. And now that I don't have drumsticks, I'm up in front. It's like, and you're laid bare, dude. You're, you know, right in front. They're looking right at you. They're looking at every part of you. At least I can hide behind my kit.
Right.
So it's daunting for me, man. And how do I put it? You got Jeff Scott Soto, Johnny Giuelli, you know, Coverdale, all those great guys up, Paul Stanley, consummate front man, the best in the business, the gods, man, of this. And Arnell as well. And you got to have a special moxie to pull that off. And I'm scared to death of it, man. It's hard. I you know what? You got to be an ultra extrovert to pull that off. And I am in some ways, like on the drums, extrovert. But right. in front there, scary, bro. So yeah, it's you got to have that special thing. And I'm still learning. This is all so new to me. The singing behind the kit all day long. I can do that all day long. But being up front, no, it's scary. Scary.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the new album, which comes out this week, Against the Winds. Now, were you concerned that Bob Seger has an album called Against the Wind?
Well, you know, that was, again, we heard it. We went, isn't that a Seger record? But then, you know, that Serafino and the marketing department, they come up with all the stuff. Okay. I mean, really, all we do is go in, fix the songs the best we can, play them the best that we can, sing them, and they do the rest, man. I mean, the rest of it's their baby. So we just let him roll with it. You know, it's like, yeah. Well, you guys have the vision. And that I got to give Serafino credit because he had the vision for this in the beginning. Revolution Saves was supposed to be a solo project for me because he had heard me with Journey in Italy. He's like, I want to do a solo record with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. So when it became a band, it was like, okay, great. It's a band. So writing the songs wasn't really our option. We didn't have the, you know, Jeff and Jack and Doug got to write some stuff and always put input in the songs with Alessandro. But me with no lyrics and stuff, I mean, it had to be their baby. So
yeah.
We just go in, do our parts, play the best we can, and those guys run with it. So I got to give credit to Serafino, with the exception of the name. At first, he wanted to call it Pleasure Dome. And we all were like, yeah, no. Yeah. Jack was like, no, that ain't going to happen. Jack came up with Revolution Saints, and it's still there to this day, and it's the greatest, one of the coolest names ever. I love that name.
It is a cool name because you don't quite know what it means, but you could maybe... Yeah. Decide for yourself what you think it means. It's one of those.
And go ahead.
And so you feel much better having it be a band than if these records were called Dean Castronova 5 or 4.
Oh, yeah, dude, totally.
Less pressure.
To lay it on me like that. Exactly, Pat. To put that pressure on me is like, yeah, you don't want me. I don't need that pressure. I got enough pressure. That's a daunting thing. So yeah, having it split between three guys or even with Alessandro making it 4, definitely the pressure's off me, and they're looking at everybody. I mean, you know, you look at the guys in the band; they're all good looking, handsome guys. I'm the one of these kids is not like the other. You know, I got shorter hair and I'm wearing a beard. You know, I'm a drummer. So, for all of us to be a band and a unit and let the music speak, it really does lend to itself. It's a good thing.
All right, let's talk about this record a little bit. First of all, are you tired of the Steve Perry vocal comparison? Because on this album, songs like Can't End It Right Now, it's kind of undeniable that you do sound like Steve. I mean, and that's a good thing. Who doesn't want to sound like Steve Perry?
Oh, dude, it's a beautiful thing. It's an honor. I nobody gets close to Steve Perry. I don't care how good you sound or how good you close you get. I mean, it's undeniable. Steve, and he was my biggest influence. Just like Sam Cooke was his biggest influence, you can hear Sam-isms in a lot of Steve's vocals. I mean, it's inevitable. And since Steve Perry was my favorite vocalist alongside, you know, Ronnie Dio and Paul Stanley, I mean, it was like, you can't help but hear that kind of stuff. And I'm in Journey too, so it's like, well, crap, how am I going to get away from it? I mean, he was my favorite, and I love singing those songs. And you can't, but I don't mind it, dude. I just, sometimes it's hard. It's humbling to hear that because I don't, you know, and I think Steve Perry would say the same thing. Yeah, you ain't me. And I definitely ain't him. I wish I was, but I do, you know, I try, even with Journey, I try to sing those songs as close to Steve as possible, because the fans want to hear it that way. I mean, I could put my own thing in it, but I don't even know what my own thing is yet. I'm still growing there. So for me to try and make them the best they can be, I can't help it, you know? And again, Steve was my favorite, and he's like a hero to me, you know? It's not only just his vocals, his personal life and the things he's done and the struggles he's gone through and stuff. He's just a god to me, you know?
Yeah. You always want to pay tribute to the original singer and the way the songs are done.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. And that's what I try to do. Sometimes I hit it out of the park. Sometimes I'm barely at home plate, but I give it a shot, you know, and I try my best. I really do.
Now, the first time I ever heard you sing was on the 2005 Journey album called Generations. I had the, Japanese version with bonus track. So yeah. Two songs on there by you, A Better Life, which is fantastic.
Trying hard just to make a living, seems life won't give them a break. Well, as long as they've got each other, who'll find a way? There's a better life waiting out there somewhere. They are the land to fly, to spread their wings to soar.
But the bonus track, Never Too Late. Oh my God. I was just like, is this Steve Perry? This is incredible.
Thank you, bro. That, you know, that was a song that Jack Blades had a yes. part in with Neil. And it was kind of written around. That was my first stint in rehab. So I came out clean and stuff. And they said, you know, you're going to sing this. I'm like, wow. And again, I believed it because it was me. You know, that they were singing, you know, they were writing about me. And it was really cool. And I did my best on it, but I hear back, I listen back now and go, well, I could have done this better. And I'm really picky on that. You know, like any musician, you're like, oh, yeah, oh, dang, oh, that was bad. Or, you know what I mean? You hear stuff and you go, damn, I could have done it better. But, you know, I'm really proud of those songs because they were my first time really singing lead on records. And especially with Journey, I mean, what an honor, dude, what an honor. So thank you for the compliment, though, brother. It's, you know, again, it's humbling. It's really humbling.
I also want to throw this out there, this statistic. Dean Castronovo has held the drum slot in Journey longer than any other drummer. Longer than Ainsley, who's fantastic. Steve Smith, fantastic. Narada, all these guys. Mike Baird. But you've been behind the kit longer. And I have to say, I've seen you with Ogieri. I've seen you with, I saw the Jeff Scott Soto shows. I've seen you with Arnell 3 times, and you're one of those drummers that a lot of people, you know, you watch Neil, you watch Arnell, but man, I am watching you because it is just so fun to watch you drum. You're just a monster.
I'll give you 20 bucks for that, dude. Oh, thank you, man. that's my place, dude. I mean, like I said, that's my wheelhouse. I mean, that's where I'm the most, that's my happy place. I'm a drummer first, man. And I've always, I can't get the smile off my face. I'm playing songs that were the soundtrack from 11 years old on to, you know, to now. there's the soundtrack to my life. I can remember where I was when I first heard Any Way You Wanted, the first time I ever heard Don't Stop Believing. I mean, it's amazing. It brings back memories, and to play these songs. Oh yeah, dude. And, you know, I've been there a long time, but I'll tell you, Smith, I mean, it still is. He's my biggest influence. I mean, yeah, he's my favorite drummer of all time. I mean, there's all kinds. I was a big influence. I mean, Bozio was a big influence on me. Neil Peart, of course, Peter Criss, but Steve Smith, when I heard the Captured record and I heard that solo, changed my life. I was like, what is he doing? And I was playing in metal bands, bro, thrash metal bands.
Yeah.
So I was taking those drum licks and putting them in thrash metal records, you know, just like the wickedest, trying to figure out what Steve was doing because it wasn't even close. But I tried to emulate what he was doing in metal, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was like, that's how I became the extrovert drummer. It's like listening to Smith, who's a consummate jazz artist and an amazing fusion player. And I mean, the guy could play anything. And to try to put that in metal was kind of interesting. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, Smith is a god, dude. My god.
And it's you and Steve Smith are two completely different types of drummers and style. But when you play these Journey songs, you guys both, you inhabit these songs with your own flair. And I mean, when I hear you play those middle sections on Separate Ways, it just gives a chill.
Dude, yeah, well, I like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, I talked to Steve and he's like, well, you know, I'm a different drummer now. I don't really play them like that anymore.
Yeah.
And I get that. But I try to stay true to him because that's how I remember him. And that's how the fans remember him.
Yeah.
And the licks, man, I was like, I mean, his chops, I mean, come on, you can't get any better. They're perfect for those songs. He's just so damn good. So I try not to stray, you know, and I try to stay really true to Steve's playing on it. You know, I'll go off a little bit here and there, but no, I ain't messing with those. It's like, you know, going up and putting a mustache on the Mona Lisa. You know what I mean? It's not right. It's not right.
Let me give a shout out to Joel Hoekstra from the new album, Against the Winds. There's a song on there called Show Me Your Light. And Joel has the coolest guitar solo on that song. It is, I love it. So good. Oh.
What an amazing player. I mean, you know, Doug and him are very similar in ways, but very different. It's like apples and oranges, but they just got this attack. I mean, to me, Joel, I see Doug more as like a Joe Perry slash, you know, Jimmy Page, Sykes, you know, he's just that kind of a player. And it's really raw. And it's like bitey and it's killer and it's got a bite to it, where Joel is this really smooth, like Demiola, you know, Ingvae Malmsteen, he's got that smooth, those riffs that he does. When he's ripping down, man, my God. And it's smooth as silk. It's like, and you can hear every little nuance of it. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Joe's a monster. I mean, it goes without saying, you know. It just, when I heard him play with Night Ranger and I saw him do that eight finger thing, you know, that they do in Rockin' America, I was like, okay, this guy gets it. And he's better than what he's showing me in Night Ranger. And sure enough, man, you know, when he joined Whitesnake, it was all over the place, man. He was just perfect fit for that. Just bad.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
It's funny you say that about Doug Aldrich, because I saw Dead Daisies just a few months ago, and it really felt like that 70s Aerosmith vibe, their live show. It was just so down and dirty, and it was great. It was really cool.
You know, that's a great band, and I got to give kudos to Doug for that, because Doug brought me in. I mean, that was right after I was let go with Journey, and I had taken a couple years off, and Doug said, hey, Daisies are looking for a drummer. Are you interested? I'm like, oh my God, bro. I'd be, what a great thing. Yes, definitely. And to play with those guys was so much fun. A lot of hard work, dude. Those guys, they don't play. They work hard. Hardest I've ever worked in a band in my life. I mean, treated like kings, but man, we were in the trenches. You know, we're flying in private jets and we're in 5-star hotels, but we're in music stores playing before the show, then an acoustic show before the show, and then a show for the show. It's like, I'm getting old. This is not easy. So, yeah, I got to give Doug the credit, and David Lowy and David Edwards for bringing me in. It was really cool.
And then you play with Glenn Hughes, and that guy's not going to put up with any shenanigans or any bad notes.
Guys, he's like, how do I put this? He's an icon and a legend.
Yeah.
And demands all the respect that he deserves and gets. You know, he's Glenn freaking Hughes. And playing with him, he's used to more Bonamy type players. And I was a little too busy, I think, for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I play a little bit more on the edge as a drummer than he's used to. But we clicked, man. I mean, when I was playing with him, it felt great to me. I don't know how it felt for him, because I only did the record with him, you know, rehearsals of the record, and then I left to join Journey. So, it playing with him, all these guys, man. I mean, David Lowy doesn't pick any crappy players.
No.
Everybody around him is, like, stellar. There ain't any link, you know, weak links there, ever.
No, that's a wild band with the revolving people. One guy will be there for a while, then gone, and a new guy. But it's always solid. They always keep it to the highest level.
Yes, sir.
Now, you mentioned about being out of Journey for a few years. I believe in second chances. I believe everyone deserves a second chance. And you have a guy like Neil Sean in your corner. How important is Neil Sean's friendship to you?
It's not so much a friendship as a brotherhood. It really is. I mean, when he found me in San Francisco in a rehearsal studio, he took me everywhere. I mean, he took me out, took me in Bad English. When Bad English broke up, he's like, hey, I'm going to do this band, you know, Hardline. I want you coming with me. He took me everywhere, with the exception of my 3 years with Ozzy. I've been with Neil my entire career, really. And I owe him all the credit, bro. I really do. I give, you know, Jesus Christ and Neil Sean all the credit for getting me where I am today. I mean, and when I lost my gig and I mean, he and John, I mean, mostly Neil would check up on me, make sure I was doing okay, make sure I was staying clean and working my program and always kept in touch. And I would take bullets for him. You know, I owe him my career, dude. I really do. And then when this all happened, when I came back, my mother had passed away the night before they called. My mom passed away at 11:59 on July 19th. And literally at 7 a.m, I woke up and there was a text from Neil saying, hey, we need you back for Lollapalooza. We got like 8 days and we're not ready. And you know all the songs when you come in and do it. And I only expected to be on two shows, the Agora Ballroom in Chicago, Lollapalooza, and go home. And 3 days later after rehearsals, you know, I find out through the internet, Neil didn't even tell me that I was back in the band. I had to find out from people texting me going, dude, congratulations, you're back. I'm like, no, it's only two shows. And how'd you find out? Oh, it's all over the internet. No, you're back in the band. So I had to go on my Instagram and all that and see Neil saying, yeah, we hired Dean back. He's back for good. Like, what are the chances, man? I mean, what are the odds of that happening?
He probably didn't want you to feel the pressure of those few shows with the weight of your back. So maybe that eased you into it.
Oh, it definitely did. Know. Neil's always like that. He loves to surprise me like that. I love him. I would take, again, I take bullets for him. I owe him so much. And he is. He's like a big brother to me. You know, I've got family and my family's great and all, but Neil and I have a special thing. I don't know. It's just, and it's not just musically. I mean, I think he gets me. He was an only child and I was a family of six, you know, Italians. So, you know, he just took me under his wing and we're tight, man. We're just tight.
You brought up Bad English. I love that band. I got to see you twice. I saw you in Chicago. I forget the venue, it was a small club. And then I saw you on some big rock thing with Skid Row and Whitesnake. And
was that in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, yes.
Yes, Lake Geneva, dude. I think that's what it was. Yeah,
yes, that's where it was. I saw both of those shows.
Remember that show because I got to talk to Blas or Sebastian Bach, and I was just freaking out because I was a big Skid Row fan. So very cool, dude. You were there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a John Waite fan forever. So when Bad English came out and I saw who's involved, I mean, I knew everyone but you. So, but when I pick up that album and I hear a song like Forget Me Not, where you're trying to kill your drum kit.
Your heart across the bedroom floor and through the window to your world. You can feel me there and you know I'm waiting. You taste the words of my forbidden kiss. Our eyes connect and we both know what this is.
and
pretty
then,
much, dude. I had to prove something there. I was a new guy. And dude, I'll tell you, when I joined that band, I was 23. I was young. And I lied to him and told him I was 25 because I thought, well, if they find out I'm 23, they're not going to date me. I'll be too young and they won't me. So I lied. I said, oh, yeah, I'm 25 years old. And then, yeah, my birthday's coming around. Like, how old are you? Well, I'm 24 this year. Wait, you said you were 25. You should be 26. I'm like, I'm in the band, so it's okay. I can tell you now. That was a cool gig, dude. Oh, John Waite, dude. You know, there's certain singers that have that thing, and he has it. He's just such an amazing. He's a poet. He's a storyteller. I love the way he phrases. You know, he phrases back, way back. God, that's so. You don't find a lot of guys like that. Paul Rodgers is one of them. John Waite is one of them. Don Henley is one of them. They got that thing, and I love it.
It's so unique. I can never describe it, but yeah, it's. The phrasing with John Waite is amazing. But then I want to shout out another song on the Bad English debut, Don't Walk Away. That's like a completely different vibe that you're doing on the drums. It's just so, I can't describe it because I'm not a musician. We'll be right back.
thinking my numbers shaken, not stirred. But I hang on your every word. These days are with the punches.
But
let me tell you the story on that. That was a demo. That wasn't supposed to be on the record. And we didn't even track it for the record. That's actually the actual demo we did.
Wow.
In Calabasas when we were first coming in with Richie Tito producing. And that was a song that was an outside writer came in and put it in and it didn't really have a drum beat. It had a drum machine of boot, got boot, got, you know. So I came up with a got. And that was all spur of the moment. Right there. I mean, I didn't know what to do with it. So it just came out and they kept it, which is, I didn't expect that at all for them to keep that song. And it was like, well, are we going to re-record that? It's like, nope, it's in there. It's like,
nope, that's it.
Okay, then. Fair enough.
When you say Calabasas, I have to laugh because I'm in Woodland Hills, California. That's why.
Oh, you're down the road.
So yeah, you're right down the road. Yeah.
Awesome.
I want to ask about being with Ozzy and the Osmosis album. I pick up that album, I buy it, and I see, oh, the band is Dean, Zach, and Geezer. And I'm so excited because I got to go see this tour. And when I get to the show in Los Angeles, it's not Dean, it's not Zach, and it ain't Geezer. And I was so disappointed.
Yeah, dude, I'd tell you, that was a fun gig. That was one that Steve Vai brought me into. Ozzy's all about chemistry. I mean, it really is. It has to be a great chemistry. And I didn't quite fit. I think I might have been just a little too happy and, you know, hyper and up all the time. And, I'm always in a good mood. So he was just like, I remember when I got fired from the gig, I was heartbroken, dude. I mean, literally heartbroken. And that's when my downward spiral with drugs happened, because I was completely clean until I got fired. And, it crushed me. It really crushed me. So I'm starting to drink. Trying to drown my sorrows. And I said, I'm retired. I'm done. You can't get any higher than Ozzy. If you get shit canned from Ozzy, pardon my language, you're done. It's over. I mean, who are you going to get now? Who's going to pick you up? I didn't see the big picture, but a year and a half later, I'm in Journey, but still it was like really tough. But playing with Zach and Geezer. Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, I remember Bob Thompson, their tour manager, who'd been with Ozzy since Blizzard of Oz. And after rehearsal one day, he goes, I got to say, this is the best band Ozzy has had since Blizzard of Oz. And that was such a, wow, what a heavy thing to hear, that was so cool to hear. Yeah, playing with Ozzy was unbelievable. I love doing the record. I loved Ozzy, sweet guy. I haven't talked to him in years, but I keep in touch with Zach here and there. And I haven't talked to Geezer in a while as well, but yeah, what a cool record.
Well, the record's solid. I mean, the first release was Perry Mason, and man, what an introduction to you guys. Fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Journey Arrival comes out. You're a little heftier on that album cover than I'm seeing now.
Oh yeah, dude. Well, that was just, let me think, that was right after I got out of my first stint in treatment. Mm-hmm. So they fatten you up, And yeah, it was, I was a younger kid and metabolism was slowing down and I was eating good. And, you know, I was, you know, they made me a partner in Journey when I joined. So it was like, you know, I had money, I was eating and buying cars and being stupid and wasn't really taking care of myself, you know, cause I was, yeah. I was in the party mode. It was after Ozzy and, you know, I was dabbling in stuff I shouldn't have been dabbling in, you know? And, you know, as time went on, it caught up with me, bro. And, you know, in 2015, it all came to a crashing halt. You know, so here I am today.
Yeah.
Thank God, you know, I'm alive and yeah, definitely thinner. I got to, you know, I'm kind of a workout addict and I have to watch what I eat because getting fat is a trigger for me. If I start gaining, like getting big, I think, well, I'll just have a little cocaine, right? That was what I used to do in the past. Have a little cocaine and I'll stop it. You know what? You don't stop.
Yeah.
I just kept going and going and going. And so thankfully I'm alive and doing well and keeping clean, you know, and grateful to be back, you know?
Well, I saw that tour, the Arrival tour, and even though you're a little bit, little heftier, that did not slow you down behind the drums. I mean, maybe you were sweating a little more, but you were great. It was fantastic.
Oh, thank you, bro. You know, that's one thing is I was always a heavy kid. I was always kind of a heavy kid. And I can remember being 13 years old and being, you know, 230 pounds. I was a big boy. So, you know, that's always been a thing for me. You know, weight was always I always struggled with it. So, but it's all about, you know, discipline and diet. But yeah, I still had the energy of a, you know, freaking hyena. I'd just be like, you know, always. I drove the band nuts. Actually, in bad English, they figured this out. After a show, if I was too hyper and too amped up after the gig, give him a piece of cake, give him a Coke, and he'll, and I would crash out within 20 minutes. I'd eat my sugar. Wow. Just, yeah, everything has an opposite effect on me. Everything.
Well, now you're John Waite thin, as I look at you.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm back to my fighting weight now. I'm about 175, 180. That's where I stay. And, you know, as soon as we start rehearsing, we're starting on Saturday, let's start building the muscle up again. Because I've been off the road. I got weenie arms, man, because I don't play when I'm at home. I do not play my drums at home. I'm a grandfather and a father and a husband. And that's the important things, you know, because when I'm gone, I'm gone. So, yeah, I got weenie arms right now, dude. They're tiny. So I gotta build them up, you know, and start playing, you know? It's time to start working out and playing.
Well, one of the killer tracks on Arrival that I love is World Gone Wild, and the drumming on that is just fantastic throughout that whole album. I love it.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate
Kevin
that.
Shirley did a great job with you guys. Really, really.
Oh, he's a monster,
producer.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's a monster producer. Loved working with him.
When you rehearse with Journey getting ready for a tour, is it just the band or, I mean, you guys don't make Arnell sing all this stuff in rehearsal too, do you?
No, usually it's just the band and it's like a bicycle. You know, once you know how to, you know, it's like riding the bike. You come back and you remember, it's like muscle memory, everything you remember. But they call me the Encyclopedia Journey because I remember. I'm like a steel trap. I can't remember my name. I can't find my keys. I'll lose my phone. But I can remember a song from 20 years ago, how we started it, what the segues were, the intros, endings, everything. So when they, you know, have a brain fart, I'm like, okay, ask the encyclopedia. And then I'll tell them, and they will go, no, let's listen to the record. They always do that to me. Let's listen to the record. I put it on like, yeah, he was right. Well, of course I'm right. I'm the encyclopedia. I know them all. So yeah, it's basically just going through the songs and we're going to try and change it up with some different stuff, maybe some stuff off of Arrival. We were talking about doing Higher Place, which God's never done since Steve, you know?
I love that so much.
Yeah, so hopefully we're going to do some new stuff. We're going to try some newer, older stuff, you know, older and newer stuff.
The fans would be psyched.
No, dude, me too. Try.
I was going to ask, I mentioned Journey Through Time already, but I want to bring it back there just for a second. When you got to play with Greg Raleigh, that must have been a thrill.
Again, legendary, dude. Yeah. I mean, Greg is such an amazing, great songwriter. He was the voice of Journey in the beginning. And I listened to those songs when I was a kid. When I was 11, I was playing with guys that were 24 and 25. And that's what they were cutting their teeth on, were the early Journey records. So I learned all of Ainsley's parts and knew all that stuff. So for me to play with Greg, and then you do the duets, you know, when it was with Perry and Greg, with me and Greg, and it sounded very similar. It was just like, it gave you chills, man. And Greg is such a monster, and I loved working with him. And hopefully, we'll do more stuff together again. I'm, you know, maybe we will do Journey Through Time, but not until this is way done. And we got a long ways to go with this band. Journey's going to keep going forever and ever.
No, when Journey's on tour, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going.
And we got to thank Neil for that, dude. He's a workaholic. That man will go until he falls over, then he'll get back up and go some more. He's just that kind of guy. He lives and breathe that guitar. It's on him all day and all night. He's always playing. I don't think I've ever seen him anytime where he's, except walking to and from the jet or something. We never see him without that guitar. He's always got it on. And he's definitely the fire behind this. I mean, he's the leader. And he and John, you know, they take the reins, and we all follow along like little puppies. Like, what do you want us to do? How, you know, it's freaking awesome. Give a lot of credit to John Kane too, man. I mean, he brought me back too when Neil said, hey, Lollapalooza, we got to get him back, dude. He knows all the stuff. We don't have a choice. We got to bring him back. And John agreed and allowed me back along with Arnell. And I've just been grateful ever since, bro. Just every day. So grateful. Yo.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Well, they have to be on the road with you, and they have to agree that that you're... you were healthy enough at the time and had your chops were still there. They, you know, they cannot go out and have one of the Pistons not be firing the same as they are.
Yeah. And Narda being the amazing drummer, he knew the stuff, but there would be times when he would space on the stuff and he would like forget parts and things like that. And they were like, well, this is too important. So we'll have two drummers.
Right.
You know, Narda will be on the real kit. Dean will be on the electric kit. So I just basically did what I did. In Journey, I laid it down just like the records and let Narda just go to town, man. Let him play the way he played. And it worked. But after a while, it got messy. You know, there's drums going on. There's so much stuff going on back there. I think if we would have had more rehearsal together, like they used to do with 38 Special, things like that, like the old Doobie Brothers with both drummers and stuff, it would have worked. But we just didn't have that time.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
It's funny as a music lover and as a fan of live music, whenever I see a band with two drummers, for some reason in my head, you could have five guitarists up there. I wouldn't think that any of them weren't up to snuff. But when I see two drummers, I think, is one of these guys carrying the other guy? That's what I always think, because I feel like you only need one drummer.
Yeah. Yeah. With us, it was, you know, me just knowing me, having the parts there, the actual structure there, like the records, for the band. So they knew. And then Narda is such a jazz, you know, visionary, a drumming visionary. You know, he got to do, you know, he got to fool around a little bit and play his style. And it worked, but it still, like I said, it just came to the point where it was like, well, if we had more time to really work some stuff out, it would be great. But we didn't have the time. It was tour time, and it was like, on your mark, it said go. So,
Well, Dean, let me tell people where you can they can find you. Website, revolutionsaints.com. Twitter, at Revo Saints page. And Instagram is at Revolution Saints Official. Go check out all of these albums. Revolution Saints self-titled, 2017, Light in the Dark, 2020, Rise, 2023, Eagle Flight. By the way, the album covers on these things are gorgeous. I love that there's a theme running throughout, even though you're not sure what it is. I love the logo. I love the graphics. Yeah. They just look cool. Like they just, you can hang them on the wall. They look so cool.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much.
Dean, continued success with Revolution Saints. Obviously, I don't even need to tell you to have success with Journey because it's never going to end, as you said.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Those are the soundtrack of songs of people's lives. So yeah,
especially mine, dude. Definitely.
And you too. And you have the best seat in the house every night.
Pretty much, dude. And I get to sit, which is great.
Yes, you do. Last but not least, first two songs that were released were Against the Winds and Changing My Mind. But for our playout song for the episode today, if you can choose one song from the new album, which one do you want me to use as the playout song?
Better Said Than Done.
Better Said Than Done. And I got to tell you, that song has, that feels like a rockin' Journey tune to me.
Yeah, all been said really and done, dude, bring it. Yeah, it's a bad one, dude. I love that tune. I love Joel's guitar on that. He plays some kind of Van Halen-y type stuff. It's really killer.
It's really cool. So, Dean, thank you so much. So glad you're healthy. So glad you're back. So glad you got kids and grandkids and everyone that loves you when you're home and people love you when you're on the road and everyone else. Buy this album when it comes out and please enjoy Been Said and Done. Thanks, Dean. Awesome.
Thank you, Pat. God bless, man. Take care. Thank you again, bro.
Take care.
See you, bro. Bye-bye.
Trying to beat these trying times. Oh yeah, I reached it down in me. I had so much love to give. Oh yeah, here you come to save me, tearing down the walls. I can see the way out of this broken land. Oh,
perfect.
I do these for a living.
I know you do. I didn't think it would be difficult. All right.
Appreciate it, man.